Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, October 3rd, 2022. This past weekend, on Saturday, October 1st, the world joined in solidarity, locked in solidarity with the Iran Revolution, with the protesters in Iran. There were global Freedom Iran rallies clearly all over the world, from London to Atlanta to Toronto to Los Angeles. And it was an amazing sight to see that these tireless, courageous Iranian Americans standing up for their brothers and sisters in Iran. One such rally took place in Los Angeles, and I want to take a couple of minutes to play this soundbite so you can get a feel of what happened this past Saturday with the Free Iran rallies.
From Iran to the streets of Los Angeles, a worldwide movement enters its third week as protesters fight for freedom following the in-custody death of 22-year-old Mahsa Amini.
Tonight, a candlelight vigil was held to remember Amini and all those killed by repressive Iranian forces. KTLA's Rachel Mindoff joins us live from outside the federal courthouse in Westwood with more. Rachel.
John and Corrine, over the last 3 weeks, we have covered a number of demonstrations here in L.A. There have also been hundreds in cities around the world. Tonight, people came out here to remember the lives that have been lost, and they're making it known that they want a regime change in Iran.
What do we want?
In downtown L.A. And in West L.A.
These are not just protests. This is a revolution.
Demonstrators like Shakoufeh Sharif say they are standing in solidarity with dozens of protesters in Iran, many of whom are risking their lives in the name of true democracy.
We believe in they have the right to defend themselves and fight for their freedom.
According to Iranian media outlets, at least 46 people have been killed in clashes with security forces, but one human rights organization says that number is much higher. Thousands more have been arrested. This all started after 22-year-old Mahsa Amini was detained by the morality police for wearing her hijab or headscarf incorrectly. She died in police custody, and her family says she died as a result of brutal beatings. Iranian state officials claim she suffered a heart attack.
If you sing the wrong song, you can go to jail. If you are the wrong religion, you can go to jail. If you're a woman and a strand of your hair shows, you could go to jail.
Iran is facing global criticism for its treatment of women and for the way it is suppressing protesters calling for change in its streets.
We believe U.S. should recognize Iranian people's desire for change as well as recognize their rights to defend themselves. against tyranny.
Outside of the federal building in Westwood, people lit candles and were reminded of young and old people whose lives were lost.
This regime basically has no, they don't care. They will mow down anybody and kill anybody who's in their way. But the people are so resilient and so strong that they don't care anymore. They're willing to die on their feet standing up as opposed to kneeling down and basically taking what this regime is offering them.
And in response to the ongoing protests, the Iranian government has restricted access to the internet. So many people who are out here today say they are speaking on behalf of the people who can't.
It is so important, and that's why I do this program consistently. It is so very vital and important for us to continue to be the voice of these freedom fighters in Iran. Now, an example here, the Los Angeles media outlet, thank God they covered this rally this past Saturday. There needs to be far more media involvement in this to make a strong voice all over the world for the Iranian people. There's way too much appeasement with the Biden administration still talking nuclear agreement with a terrorist regime. So the media needs to focus on what's happening in Iran. Over 110 cities, this protest has blossomed so huge. Remember, September 13th, Mahsa Amini came to Tehran to visit her family. She was a stranger then. And now since her brutal death, she's no longer a stranger. The whole world knows Mahsa Amini. And I want to talk to you about the protests, and I want to speak about one brutal death that caught my attention, the death of Nika Shakarami, just 17 years old. Since this past Friday, the nationwide protests have just blossomed. It's going into its third week. It's spread, according to this outlet, to 164 cities in 31 provinces, nine major capitals in Iran. In spite of the brutal crackdown on protesters and an internet shutdown, just this morning I heard that the police were arresting university students. They're arresting journalists that have reported on Mahsa Amini's death. An estimated 15,000 protesters have been arrested and detained, 300 and probably more viciously killed by security forces. In one particular example, I want to talk to you this morning about Nika Shakarami. Her body was handed over to her family finally on Friday, September 30th. That is 10 days after they went looking for her. She went missing. She had participated in Tehran protests on Kasharava Boulevard that started on September 20th. Her friends said Nika was fearless, and she chanted slogans ceaselessly. In her last call to her friend, Nika Shakarami said she was running away from security forces. Her family was desperate. They were so worried. They looked everywhere for Nika in all the prisons, the detention centers, the police stations, and even the forensic office of Karyazak. But finally, on September 29th at the police station, the Shakarami family was told that someone with similar specifics had been found, and obviously they had found their daughter. Nika had lived with her aunt. She told the BBC that the authorities had told her that Nika had fallen from a height, that she fell from a building. All these stories about what they're trying to cover their tracks instead of admitting what they did. When the Shakarami went to identify Nika's body, they were not allowed to see her head. Her nose had been smashed. Nika's skull had been pounded repeatedly by some heavy object, like a baton. The police carry these batons, so it's obvious that she was beaten to death by security forces. So she had actually been, I think, detained. She had spent a whole week in custody of the International Revolutionary Guard Corps. And upon completion of her interrogations, Nika was transferred to Evan, according to these sources. And there's all kinds of stories, but we know simply by the shape of her body, her nose being smashed in. She didn't fall from some height or some building. She was beaten by security forces. Nika Shakarami, just 17. In fact, it was yesterday that Nika would have turned 18 years old. But instead, her life was cut short by this terrorist butcher regime. And in the 3 weeks now that we're going through these protests, it is vital for you and I to upload as many videos as we can, to report on as many stories as we can, to keep the social media saturated with what's happening in Iran, because we have occasionally some videos coming out through Iran Wire or through other sources, and we can see the protests are blossoming. They're continuing, but remember, the internet is very restricted. And if the State Department can get the okay to go ahead with Elon Musk, we can restore this internet so that Iranians can talk to one another. They are deliberately being shut down. And the reason they do this, in 2019, when the internet was shut down by the butchers of Iran, they killed over 1,500 protesters. They were firing their rifles from rooftops down onto peaceful protesters. I remember seeing some of the videos. So this is the goal in shutting down the internet. I want to pause here for a moment before I go on to plenty more sound bites of the ongoing protests. I want to share with you an incredible experience that I had this past Friday at work. And it's up on my Facebook page. It is a blog story, and it is also a podcast, and I want to share this with you. I was relaxing in the break room at Chick-fil-A just a few minutes before the beginning of my shift when I received a voice message on Telegram. I noticed it was from my Iranian friend, Modis, whom I hadn't heard from in a really long time. I immediately opened up the voice message to listen and was completely unprepared for what I was about to hear. In a trembling voice that was racked with tears and desperation, Modis pleaded with me from the other side of the world. I wish that Telegram would have afforded me an opportunity to download this so you could hear it yourself, but the best I can do is quote it. Here's what Modis told me with a trembling voice, with tears. Randy, please be our voice. They're killing us. They're killing both young and old. Please be our voice. Chills ran up and down my spine, and tears just filled my eyes. I was gripped at that moment by an intense feeling of urgency. I just literally banged my fist down on the table in frustration. The lives of my Iranian friends were in danger. Here I was at work. I wanted so bad to be right now by their side and fight with them. For the last 10 days and more, brave young women joined by men in more than 110 to 164 cities across Iran have taken to the streets. They're outraged over the senseless, brutal death of Mahsa Amini. The morality police, if you well remember, arrested Mahsa on September 13 for not wearing her hijab properly and showing a little bit too much hair. Then they explained to her brother, well, we're going to transport her to a detention center in Tehran. We're going to re-educate her on the Islamic dress code. A few hours later, her brother was made aware that she was pronounced brain dead at a local hospital and had lapsed into a coma. And of course, the official explanation from this regime is that Mahsa, a 22-year-old girl, keep that in mind, had suffered a heart attack. However, bystanders had witnessed her being beaten in the head as she was being forced into a police van. Well, the cruel and unjust death of Mahsa Amini, as you well know, has sparked a revolution with thousands of Iranian men and women taking to the streets outraged and demanding freedom from a dictatorship government. I had been very busy prior to hearing this voice message on my Facebook page, posting stories and videos to support my dear Iranian friends. And I also had been busy reporting on their plight and struggles for freedom on my Blog Talk radio program, the one you're listening to now, The Cross in the Desert. When I heard this message from Modis, I immediately sent a reply assuring her I would be her voice and the voice of all Iranians. And I pleaded with her, I remember, be careful, Modis. I'm praying for your safety. I went on to explain to her the rallies that were taking place this weekend. She sent me another voice message. She said, I'm a little encouraged by that. That makes me feel a little bit more braver to go out. But it just petrifies me when she says she has to go out. But when she said, Randy, please be our voice, I cannot adequately express into words the awesome responsibility of being the voice of Iranians. It's the passion. It's the driving force of my life every day. It is the reason that I write their stories in my self-published books. I'll never forget the just heart-wrenching story that Modis shared with me a few years ago. It was right before the Persian New Year in Iran, right before Nowruz. She recalled a frightening incident one day at school when she was just a little girl. The teacher in that school had sternly warned all of the girls that they had better wear their hijabs according to Islamic law, or if not, that on Judgment Day, Allah would dangle them over the fires of hell by their hair. Wow. Growing up in Iran as a child, that is the picture of God that Modis has been taught. God was not a God of mercy or love, but rather a God of fear and retribution that couldn't wait to punish his disobedient children. You could hear in her trembling voice on this message that same little girl that shared that story with me. She's now terrified and pleading with me to support them. She's never forgotten that story. That story still resides in the very depths of her soul as she sees what happened to Masa because she would dare challenge security force, dare to show a little bit of hair. Well, when I heard this voice message, like I mentioned, I was at work. It was right before the beginning of my shift. I took some time out. I bowed my head in prayer for Modis. And then I thought back to these stories I'm sharing with you today. 17-year-old Nika Shakarami, I just shared with you. Her face came into my mind's eye when I'm praying for Modis. I don't want Modis to end up like her. And I also, as I was praying, I remembered 20-year-old Hadas Najafi. This video is haunting. You see Hadas? She's tying up her hair behind her head, and she's standing. It's at night. She's standing and facing security forces, but she is unafraid to face them in protest, peacefully protesting, tying back her hair. And this is in the city of Karaj. And a few minutes later, which is not shown on the video, they pumped six bullets into this beautiful 20-year-old girl and killed her simply for the crime of wanting freedom. And you know what? As I was praying and I was remembering these horrifying stories, I was just gripped with fear that this same tragedy could happen to my dear friend Modis. And so I couldn't bear it. I remember I got up from the table in the break room, and I reluctantly began my job. It was on my mind all night. But there is nothing more important to me in my life than being a voice for my Iranian friends. And I am not doing this for money. I'm not doing this for fame. I'm not doing this for popularity. I just do it because I love them. I do it also, though, because the Bible admonishes me to be their voice for freedom. Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 through 9, in the Amplified Version, says this, "Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are unfortunate and defenseless. open your mouth, judge righteously, and administer justice for the afflicted and the needy. Being silent in the face of injustice, cruelty, and the slaughter of human life is an egregious sin that lacks any sense of humanity or compassion. It was the great German pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who courageously defended the church during World War II and was unafraid to stand up against Hitler. He rebuked the weak and afraid, proclaiming this, this is a famous quote, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act." If Bonhoeffer were still alive today, I believe he would raise an accusing voice toward the mainstream media for their silence and their ignorance when it comes to the human rights of the Iranian people. They are willingly silent in the face of evil. We need a prophetic voice that will be unafraid to confront the evil of silence and to confront the self-centered governments of this world who have economic ties with the Islamic Republic of Iran, lining their pockets with profits while ignoring their desperate cries. The Biden administration is a prime example of sinful appeasement for the sake of a legacy. They are willing to sit down at the table across from this terrorist regime and negotiate a nuclear deal instead of rebuking them for their oppressive policies against innocent people and speaking up for human rights. President Biden wants to have a legacy behind his name, like Barack Obama did in 2015, where he gave billions of dollars of sanction relief money to the Iranian government that was spent on furthering terrorism in the Middle East. Well, I refused to be silent in the face of evil. Right after work, I had messaged Modest back on my Telegram, promising her that I will never back down and never give up until she and all of her friends can walk down the streets of Tehran one day without fear under a new government of freedom and democracy. You know, I want you to hear the desperate voice of Modest with me. I want you to feel the fear, the panic, the frustration that is tearing at her soul. It is only when we together, you and me, raise our voices and bring awareness and condemn this evil that Iranians will then have any hope for a bright future, a new tomorrow where the shackles and chains of a dictatorship government are finally torn away from their hearts and minds. Speak up for those that cannot speak for themselves. It is our humanitarian duty. It is our calling. I want to now take you to a report a few days ago, but a good report by some media that is not silent, but are reporting. This is CBS reporting on the protests. And let's listen to what is going on and what is happening right now.
Anti-government protests, many of them deadly, continue across Iran despite a heavy crackdown. They pose one of the biggest challenges to the repressive Islamic rulers there in years. The demonstrations began 2 weeks ago following the death of a woman who was arrested by Iran's so-called morality police. Since then, public anger about other issues has boiled over. Roxana Saberi reports on the uprising.
Without headscarves and without fear, women are taking center stage in the protests across Iran. Daring to defy the Islamic regime's strict morality laws, they're cutting their hair in public and dancing with their exposed locks flowing.
We keep receiving a lot of videos that shows women are fearless.
These days, exiled activist Masih Alinejad hardly sleeps, posting videos online that millions see. The Iranian regime has made it a crime to even send videos to Alinejad.
They have dreams.
And made her a target, even in New York City, where she spoke to us from an FBI safe house.
my true leaders are these women and men inside Iran. I don't do anything, just using my freedom in the U.S., echoing their voice.
In recent years, women in Iran have taken part in other protests. But this time, the spark was the death of a woman, Mahsa Amini. Detained for not covering her hair properly, she later died in police custody. Journalist Niloufer Hamedi broke the story and is now in solitary confinement in Tehran's notorious Evin prison. Women are leading, marching, and taking beatings for one another.
Is this time different?
This is the first time that women in a large number standing shoulder to shoulder with men burning their headscarves. It's the main pillar of the Islamic Republic. So they strongly believe that by burning headscarves, they are actually shaking the regime.
In the 1960s, women in Iran dressed in hijab and the latest Western fashions. But soon after the 1979 revolution, the new Islamic regime ruled that women and girls from a young age had to cover their hair and bodies in public. Hardliners proclaimed hijab would protect women's honor. But for many protesters, it's become a symbol of oppression.
You see voluntarily veiled people, women, and involuntarily veiled women.
So they want to have the choice whether to wear or not to wear the hijab.
Absolutely. So it's about essentially women feeling humiliated and women feeling forced to do something that they may or may not want to do.
Activist Azadeh Pourzand says the protests have united Iranians.
Not just for women's rights, for political rights, for civic rights, for so much more.
Young people are angered by widespread corruption, an economy battered by international sanctions, and the repressive ruling regime.
They're saying that enough is enough. We're ready to die for the future of Iran, for having a better country to live.
While that future is unclear, the country will never be the same.
For CBS Saturday Morning, Roxana Saberi, London.
We're seeing stories like this. The question is how many people inside Iran are actually able to, and how much that message is able to get out.
Right.
They crack down, obviously, on the internet. And
the, but the bravery of these women and people willing to have that voice.
Yeah, and what happens to them once they're arrested and placed in prison?
We don't know.
We don't
know.
In most cases.
We don't.
That is the latest update on the happenings and the protests in Iran. But just after I woke up this morning, I came across an article from The Guardian, and the news coming out of Iran continues to just prove how brave these men and women are and what they're going through. These Iran security forces, they're now clashing with students at the university level, and the students are not backing down. It's one of the universities, Sharif University. There's been many videos up on Twitters, and it's usually a hotbed of dissent at this university. There's dozens of riot police descending on Sharif University. You see pictures of security forces firing tear gas to drive the students off the campus, and you can hear the sound of what appears to be shooting at a distance. Another video shows security forces chasing dozens of students trapped in the university's underground parking. I came across this video, and I was just blown away. These students are running for their life. We just need to continue to be their voice, continue to not let this story die for one second. They are fighting for their lives every single day. The women are cutting their hair. They're burning their hijabs. They're saying death to Khamenei. They're yelling for regime change. And one of the slogans you constantly hear is women, life, freedom. Mahsa Amini, women, life, freedom. Freedom, and you saw that in the global support of the protests all weekend. It was just truly beautiful to see the thousands of people in Toronto coming out, in Atlanta coming out, in Los Angeles, and many, many other cities. We need to support the Iranian people with our voices. We need to report. We need to post videos. We never want to be silent for a second. We want to tell the world that what is happening in Iran is very, very important. This regime has oppressed them for more than 43 years. Can you imagine growing up as a child and living through this? Now, many Iranians have migrated. They have left because there's no hope for them. Many of them Christians, so they can come to countries that allow the freedom of religious worship. I have many friends that have come out of Iran. One in particular, her name is Gila. She had to leave her country because of persecution, because her family wanted to force her into a marriage with a Muslim man. She's Kurdish, and she left with all of that, and she went into Turkey, and she was there in Turkey for almost 5 years before she has been allowed to leave and finally connected with the immigration services in Canada. And I'm happy to report to you, it's on my Telegram, and it's also on my Instagram, there is a video of my friend Gila in Toronto with other Iranians protesting the death of Mahsa Amini. You can hear her yelling and screaming loudly. She couldn't do that when she was in Turkey. She certainly couldn't do that when she lived in Iran. But Gila is free. She's living in Toronto, and it is just an example of what Iranians have to go through for freedom. They have to go through a long process of becoming asylum seekers, and then finally refugees, and finally they are accepted by a host country. But I'm so happy for my friend Gila. I think now it's time, a good time, to listen to some music, some protest music in support of my dear Iranian friends. This is Nickelback. It's called Edge of a Revolution.
The NSA, and God we
Nickelback, Edge of a Revolution, dedicated to my dear Iranian friends, men and women fighting for their survival, fighting for their freedom in Iran. Never, never give up being their voice. Never stop praying. God has got this under control. Let me assure you of that. And let me tell you why I can say that, because as long as I've been doing this and being a voice for my Iranian friends, there has one particular passage of scripture, if you will, one psalm that has resonated so much within my heart, because I know that the promises in this psalm God is using in the lives of Iranians, despite the bloodshed, despite the violence, just as he turned the Soviet Union upside down and brought down the Berlin Wall, just as he crushed the communist regime in Cuba. And we saw that just a few years ago with the death of Fidel Castro. The wicked are dying every day. The truth is prevailing, and the wicked are dying. I want to assure you that when you see what's happening, God has this under control, that he cares for these people. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14, is the cornerstone scripture for my prayer time for my Iranians. It's a promise to them. It says, he will rescue the poor when they cry to him. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. He feels pity for the weak and the needy, and he will rescue them. He will redeem them from oppression and violence, for their lives are precious to him. Notice the different word choices here: rescue, help, oppressed, defend, weak, needy, oppression, violence, and precious. You may say, but Randy, when I see what's happening in Iran, I see nothing but death and heartache. It is part of living in a world that is in rebellion against God. There are casualties. God gave us the freedom to choose so we could have the freedom to love. To love him, to have a love relationship with him, not something that's forced upon us, but something that comes out of a renewed will and saying, yes, I want to love you, Lord. And with the freedom to make choices, there are consequences. Just like the knife that the surgeon uses to cut an incision to bring healing to your body, it's a knife. Someone else will take that very same knife and kill another person. But that doesn't mean the knife is evil. It means the problem is that our hearts are evil. But God says there is a day coming, Revelation chapter 21, when he will wipe the tears from our eyes. There will be no more sorrow, no more death, no more pain, because that is when the new heavens and the new earth become a reality. So in the in-between time, until that promise, there is death, there is suffering, and there is injustice, but that all will be solved and will be measured out when Jesus returns. He will rescue the poor when they cry to him. The Iranian people are crying out, and God hears the prayers of Iranians, just as he heard the prayers of his Hebrew children that were in slavery in Egypt. He will help the oppressed who have no one to defend them. They're oppressed. That's why they're rising up. They have no one else to defend them but themselves, but God says, I will fight. He feels pity for the weak and needy, and he will rescue them. How is it that God feels pity? How is it that God understands pain? When he came in the person of Christ and died a horrible death on the cross to save us from our sin, he understands pain. He understands suffering. So the scripture says he can feel pity for the weak and needy. And it says in conclusion, verse 14, he will redeem them from oppression and violence because their lives are precious to him. God loves the suffering Iranian people. Make no doubt about it. He is on their side. Now, there is another revolution taking place in Iran on a daily basis. It is the underground church, the house church. The Iranians that are finding their hope in freedom and Christ, they're finding the peace, the love and forgiveness in the person of Christ that they can find nowhere else. Because they have met and they have loved Jesus by reading his word, they have a boldness to go out and proclaim Christ to their friends, to their neighbors. It puts their lives at risk. It puts them in prison. It puts them in solitary confinement, but they're unafraid and unashamed. So we have these revolutions happening in Iran, one for humanity and physical freedom and democracy, and one for the salvation of the souls. And those two revolutions are happening simultaneously. So what do? We are on the side of the Iranian people. We publish the stories. We get on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We be their voice. We shout freedom. We shout women, life, and freedom with them. But we also pray. We pray that these hurting, desperate, broken Iranians will find their hope and freedom in Jesus. There is a freedom in Jesus. We can have a physical freedom. We can have a new government, a new democracy. But we need the freedom and the salvation that comes in Christ. Because, you see, there's a type of bondage that all of us are in. It's the chains of sin that keep our souls in turmoil. And Jesus has the keys to free us from that bondage. So I ask you, as you listen to this program today, please do this. Don't just listen. Take this program. Post it on your timeline. If you come to my Facebook, please share my posts. Please share my blogs, my podcasts. Please make awareness wherever you're at, and make this also the most important thing during your Bible time when you pray for the needs of others and pray for the world. Please pray for the brave men and women, especially women in Iran, who are tired of the oppression and the bondage that they've been under. And so that's my urgent appeal for you. Let's remember the voice of Modest. She said, Randy, please be our voice. They are killing us.